We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious portion of the word which you've given us, and pray that you open all of our hearts and make them receptive to it, and cause the word to become engrafted to save all of our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those who are worshiping with us live via the speaker phones, which virtually all three congregations this morning, and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from our home here on the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. And we're entering into the month of August now and having some beautiful Wisconsin summer weather. We wish you could be here to enjoy it with us. But we're thankful to be able to share with you what the Holy Spirit has given us during the week, so we invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Waters of Life to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 3 and 4. The verses read this way in the King James Version: "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." These verses are not the easiest ones to preach on, because you kind of feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. And by that I mean this, that to give an adequate sermon on these two verses, it cannot be done, and yet it must not be left undone. The two approaches would be to preach on it and limit the time, and so then you're not going to be able to even scratch the surface. The other approach would be to go deeply into it, in which case we'd be here till the cows came home and still wouldn't be able to get an adequate grasp of it. So what I'm going to do is try to give at least a kind of a broad outline that each of you can fill in on your own from the knowledge that you do have of Scripture. Thinking first of all to the Queen of Sheba, who came from the uttermost parts of the earth because she had heard an account of the wisdom of Solomon. And when she got there, there were a lot of witnesses to the greatness that was his. And I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 10. I'm starting with verse 4, just very quickly, a few of the verses. All of them are in your bulletin, but just from verse 4. "When the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built," this was one of the witnesses, "the house he had built, and the meat or the food at his table," was another, "and the sitting of his servants," another witness, "and the attendance of his ministers," another one, "and their apparel and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." It took her breath away. "And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thine acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard.'" Well, a greater than Solomon is here. And I'm thinking now of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The fullness of time. When the fullness of time was come. Well, what does that mean? I believe that there's an indication here that this period of time between when the Son of God was born in the manger of Bethlehem, was preached, was crucified, dead and buried, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and during that first generation of the early Christian church that these were the key days in the history of the whole world. There is no more important time than this. And this is the time, really, that the whole human race is put under trial. Let's look at the context here again of Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. This is talking to God's elect. And the Apostle Paul, or whoever wrote the epistle, includes himself. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have seen and heard, or which you have heard, rather, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect or make light of so great a salvation? Now, here's the words we're going to be looking at. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, with these words, there are two other passages that we should consider together. One of them is Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19, and the other is Luke 9, verse 35. Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19, read this way. I will raise them up a prophet, capital P, from among their brethren, like unto thee, the thee is Moses, the prophet is Jesus, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And then Luke 9:35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Hear him. And because this was such an important time in history, the Lord God gave many witnesses to the world. And so the man who rejects all these witnesses is absolutely without excuse. What are the witnesses? Let's scratch the surface. Number one. The witness of the Son of God himself, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. We could say in a certain sense that Jesus Christ is the first gospel preacher. He is the one who made his appearance on the earth, and as soon as he did, and during his whole lifetime here in this earth, which lasted around 33 years, the sparks really began to fly. And he had unfolded exactly as aged Simeon had said to his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. It is a fact that there never has been anyone else in the history of the world that has been a cause of division to the degree that the Son of God has. Christ himself alluded to this when he said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And so the world is divided into two camps. It was when he was on this earth. It is now, and it always has been. The two camps are, number one, those who love him, and number two, those who hate him. And finally, at the last day, when all the wraps are taken off and the camouflage is gone, it's going to boil down to that, either love or hate. Some who love him so much they're, by the grace of God, willing to die for him, and others whose hatred is so deep that they claim that he's doing what he did by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. But you see, this was the one who began the gospel ministry. This was the one who always did his Father's will perfectly. He always spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak, and he did the deeds which his Father told him to do. And from his lips came the greatest sermons ever given, and the most promising, precious promises ever given, and also the most severe warnings ever given. And he backed them up by signs, the greatest miracles ever performed in the world were performed by Jesus of Nazareth. Not only the healing of the lepers and the raising of the dead, but the giving of sight to the blind, which has never, ever, ever been duplicated in all history, even to a man born blind. Now, you know the story, so if we were going to go into this, I'd say we'd be here till the cows came home. Let's keep going. You know that story. But then after the resurrection, his appearances, I believe, if I'm counting correctly, 10 of them in number, and they ranged from a one-on-one contact with a contact with more than 500 people at one time, recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, which is the chapter of the resurrection, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which was preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas. That was a one-on-one thing. Then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is undisputable. There were people that saw him in all different sorts of circumstances. This was God's witness to the world. Now, there was also the witness of those who heard him in the text, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Not that we needed it, but God gives it. And here, so here we have some more witnesses. Let's mention a few. John the Baptist, John chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. Well, what does that mean? John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus. And undoubtedly, they grew up playing together. John knew him. But when he says, I knew him not here, he's speaking as an eyewitness. I didn't know him as an eyewitness that he was the Son of God. I knew him, but I didn't. Okay. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw. Here's the witness part. Now I know as an eyewitness. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So anybody who denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is going against the testimony of an eyewitness. And the eyewitness is John the Baptist. Okay. Was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The fisherman. Second Epistle, chapter 1, verse 15 and following. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. You know, I like this because I do not believe that Peter enjoyed writing a book or a letter. He was a fisherman, born and raised out on the water, an outdoors person. But he also had a love for you and for me. So I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to leave something for you in remembrance. What is it? This epistle that he wrote by the Holy Spirit. Okay, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw it. What did they see? For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. The we, of course, are Peter, James, and John. Three more eyewitnesses and ear witnesses. Then there's Luke, the beloved physician. I'm just mentioning a few. Luke chapter 1, how he begins his gospel to his friend Theophilus, who evidently is having doubts. Luke 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, there were evidently many, many things being written about this, which is what we would expect. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. There's that word eyewitnesses again. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. More witnesses from God. And we've got an embarrassment of riches. Four Gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, looking at Jesus from four different little viewpoints. And then the book of Acts, the first generation of the early Christian church. It's an embarrassment of riches. And then more coming. God's witness to the world. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. There are four things mentioned here. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts. Four is the number of the world. These were God's witnesses to the whole world. We're reading through the book of Acts in our worship service. So the whole book of Acts applies here. We mentioned way back when we started, you cannot understand the book of Acts until you realize that there's a parallel between the book of Acts and the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Back there was a creating going on, and things were happening back there that haven't happened since. And the same thing is true in the book of Acts. You had something happening in that first generation, and an outpouring of witnesses from the Lord God that ended there and have not happened since, at least not to the degree they happened then. You had Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came down in visible flames of fire. You had Ananias and Sapphira struck dead at the altar. You have miracles. And you know, I can't go into all this. But just one example, Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Many, many signs and wonders. We don't even know what they all were, but there were many of them. And they were all done with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that, now listen to this, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And then, you know, Acts chapter 19, this was our epistle reading for this morning. I'm just going to read two of the verses, 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, all of these things were witnesses to the gospel that Jesus of Nazareth was not only a human being, but he was also true God, that he lived a perfect life without sin in thought, word, and deed, that he willingly gave his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, and that those who are covered with his blood are going to live forever in his kingdom of glory. Now, with all these witnesses, the point here is the warning. How are we going to escape if we neglect something like this? If what came to us through the medium of angels was punished and judged when it was rejected, how much greater is the rejection and the punishment going to be if we turn away? Now, we've got to understand something here. What was done for, you know, by the Lord God, according to his will, for all these things that witnessed to the truth of the gospel, these things were done before the New Testament was put into writing. We've got to remember that. And the people living at that day were living in a certain sense in a very, very difficult time in history, where all of the ceremonial laws that they had been following and their forefathers had been following for hundreds of years, which were commanded by God, all of a sudden they were to be done away with because they pointed toward the sacrifice of the Son of God, and now that had happened. And now the very things that were commanded by God only a matter of days ago were wrong, because if they had kept on doing these things, it would have been a confession that the real thing had not yet happened. But it happened on the cross. It was a period of adjustment. So God gave signs and wonders, the likes of which have not been seen since. Now we don't need them. These things ceased when the New Testament came into print. Now we have something better. The fisherman tells us this again. The very one who said, we were with him on the mount, we saw him transfigured, we saw his body metamorphosized, we heard the voice come from heaven, we saw Moses and Elijah with him. The same fisherman continues and says this. Right after he said, we were with him on the mount, we saw. We have also something better, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And the world is a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so then now, with this embarrassment of riches, to whom much has been given, from him shall much be expected. And then one more time, the opening verses of Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, a judgment, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will.